That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the Radio Ranch. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. It's a cloudy day this Saturday morning, June 18th. But we're glad to be here. We're thankful for it. Little breeze out there. It's a nice start to summer. Today's the 91st day, starting at, I guess, noon or 1. And it's the change from spring to summer. Summer is upon us. And we welcome it. We're sure thankful that God does this in His order. You know, that we didn't just come out of winter with maybe a blizzard yesterday and then summer today with 70-degree weather. That's not good on man nor beast. So we're sure glad and thankful that our God of order has things in His order. But anyway, good morning. We've got a full crew. We'll bring the men on. Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul from up north, thanks for joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim as well. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we say good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you have your Bibles. I've got mine open in Ezekiel. Where I'm at this morning, hopefully you've got your Bibles with you, a good cup of coffee, and good fellowship, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And so if you can agree to those terms, well, heck, we welcome you to join us around our, oh, it's not a campfire, it's kind of the Radio Ranch microphone. The pastor looked at it as almost a little campfire gathering to be able to do on Saturday mornings, where men and women of God could get together and, well, talk about the current events, see, you know, pick each other's brains kind of a thing, and see how the Holy Spirit was moving in different Christians' lives. So that's kind of what we do. Well, we're going to open up in prayer. Tim, I would ask if you would open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. thing. Oh, Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, and we pray for a blessing upon your people and protection of your people, Lord, that, we would enter the rock of our salvation. Lord, we would be defended, protected, and not only that, Lord, but in the midst of this adversity that we would be prospered. Lord, we pray that you would give us knowledge, and Lord, your wisdom to use that knowledge according to your plan and purpose for the furtherance of your kingdom and your design and your plans. Lord, we know, Lord, you don't need us, but Lord, we pray that you'd let us help. Lord, that you would just use us in your plan. And Lord and Heavenly Father, I just ask for your people a good thing upon each and every one of them this day. Lord, and I just pray that you would humble your enemies and, Lord, bring them to their knees. Lord, that you would use them for your footstool and that their plans would be confused. And, Lord, that they would devour one another, right? And that they would be utterly and completely destroyed. Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless this broadcast this morning. Lord, that you'd put words in our mouth, and that you'd protect our family, and that you would defend us and build a hedge around us, Lord, with your holy and mighty angels, Lord, that we might speak the truth boldly, and Lord, that receptive ears might hear it. And Lord God, I pray for those who are absent this morning, that you would heal, touch, and help them, Lord, that you would send your spirit of comfort and your spirit of grace upon them, and just make our paths straight. Lord, that's what the Bible says. We got a lot of people out there making them crooked. Lord, we just pray you'd make them straight, and that they'd all lead to your throne. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask these things, believing that it'll be accomplished in the holy name of Jesus Christ, and by his blood we pray it. We invoke the power of God over us this morning and this week and this month. We just pray that all things would be done according to your plan and purpose, that your name might be praised. Amen.
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 Well, Remnant, phone lines are open. It's a live program this Saturday morning, 307-745-5913. Lots going on. Boy, if you check the news, they'll take you from one end to the other. You can find out what Amber Heard is doing now that the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial is over. I know everybody wants to know about that. And you can look on the news and they'll let you know what The View is talking about, because they're still obsessed with the riots that happened January 6th of, what's it been now, a couple years ago, that they just can't let that go. And so those are the important things that are going on if you look at the news. Very, very little reporting on the massive cattle die-off in Kansas and other parts of the Midwest. I don't think it was just Kansas, but I think the reports, I was looking into it yesterday and this morning, it looks like Ulysses, Kansas was the kind of the epicenter. Up to, and it depends on where you look. You see 2,000 head of cattle, 3,000, 10,000. That's an impact. And if you haven't seen it, if you haven't looked into it, if you're a painter by trade, you might not, nothing against painters, but you might not realize that there was a massive cattle die-off, kill-off, whatever you want to say, in Kansas this week. We have seen 100-degree temperatures. Tim, I was thinking about you. I saw it looked like North Platte was going to hit 104 this past week. I don't know if they did, but that's a little warm for, just getting the summer started. But,
yeah, we had 110 last week.
Wow.
So for a high.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it was quite warm.
So it's hot. There's no doubt about that.
That's not the first time they've seen it. So,
right. Right.
Yeah.
It's not like that's a new record of 20 degrees hotter than ever before. We, here in Laramie, many places in Wyoming, excuse me, we set record heat, you know. But for the end of spring, our record heat is, you know, 89 degrees, 91 degrees, that type stuff. So take it for whatever you want. You can go the line of the media that, well, you know, the heat in the high humidity or the heat in the low humidity, depending on who you talk to, is what killed these cattle. They were heat stressed. And you know, you might see that. Some reports were 100 to 200 a day in different feedlots and things like that. I can tell you some of the videos I saw and some of the interviews that I saw with some of the ranchers and the people out there, it was more than a couple hundred. It was more than a few thousand. And so take it however you want. Take what the media says, just like the media says, you know, oh, those 20 or 30 commercial food processing plants that have been destroyed since August of 2019. Pay no attention to that. It just happens. You know, fires happen. And food is fuel. And just don't worry about it. It's nothing out of the ordinary. 10,000 cattle die in 1 week in Kansas. Nothing out of the ordinary, the media says. Let's get back to what Hollywood is doing. You know, there's some new movies out this week. Blah, blah, blah. And that is the state that we're in this nation, that so many are in. I don't speak for everybody in that. So I guess I'll open up with that this morning, this massive cattle die-off in Kansas. Any comments, thoughts? I'm out of line. You guys tell me. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, we're in a war. All the processing plants have been in the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's amazing the powers that they have and that they're able to get away with. This is war. America's got cancer. It's dying from the inside out, but it's war. They're trying to starve us out, and they're shutting the fuel off, and who knows what else they're going to do, but they will stop at no ends to destroy us if they can.
The parasite has no feelings for the host, and they don't care about the host. They will continue to feed off and do damage until they kill the host. You know, there's no symbiotic relationship. Like you said, it's one against the other. It's war.
It's beyond symbiotic because they're drunk on the blood of the saints is what they are, and they're out to kill.
Amen.
Yeah, it's asymmetric warfare. I mean, and we know that their goal, that they serve their father, and we know that his goal was the total annihilation of every bit of God's creation. That's what he seeks to throw in God's face, is that there's nothing you can do that I can't destroy. And I think any of us who have ever studied battle tactics understand that asymmetric warfare is about cutting your enemy's supply lines and their communications lines. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a interruption of food. We're seeing an interruption of transportation through fuel and through fuel lines and through regulations that will make just everything more difficult. You know, there isn't any time there's a new regulation that comes out like that, it's not to help, it's not to make anything better, it's to destroy.
Yes.
And they want to annihilate God's peoples, you know. And I just think that and as far as this these food plants dying off of, I've been doing some kind of heavy, or being destroyed, I've been doing some pretty heavy research into it, and in less than 12 months, they've lost over 500. Every one of them has burned to the ground. I started just doing a little looking around here, and there's plants being destroyed from Alabama to California and all the way in between.
Yes.
We're talking just... I found out here around Butler, Nebraska, and some of the other places, over 2 million chickens were burned to the death and everything. And then they talk about the fact that, well, it's probably due to the bird flu.
Right.
But that's not what I'm hearing. It was like we went to bed, we got up, the place burned to the ground.
Yeah.
And it's strange that it's all fire, and they're big fires. I mean, like, it's a four-alarm job. It's not some little,
right.
Like, you know, we had a wing catch on fire over there, and they got it put out. I mean, by the time the fire department shows up, there's nothing left to put out. You know, it's just a controlled burn from there. I mean, so it's like, yeah, it's just, yeah, get rid, you know. So that should tell anybody who's got a brain that there's some accelerant involved or something is. And you'd think these, I mean, all those places are insured. You'd think the insurance companies would be totally freaking out, you know, if it was, there's definitely some interesting questions there to think in minds, you know, and then we've also got not just chickens, not just, there's agricultural product plants, a whole bunch of feed producing plants that burn to the ground for cattle. And now suddenly we have, you know, I've heard numbers higher than 10,000 because I've heard of a couple other places where cattle have died. Well, yeah, heat stress will, you know, you'll lose some cows here and there, but my goodness, those cows, they deal with that every year.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Last year it was 100 plus two, and we didn't have them all die. So, yeah, it's kind of a common sense thing.
Yeah, I think people they're being told. You know, Pastor taught. I think one of the top, you know, 500 important things that he taught, because they were all important. But the esoteric versus the exoteric messages, right? I'm sure everybody remembers that. The how the enemy will say something, and it has a couple different meanings. And the way the sheep think about it is one way. But the way the enemies of Christ think about it is a different way. And I think the headlines on Fox News this morning, he's killing the economy. Now, it's not O'Biden. I think most people understand. O'Biden gets the attention because he's the figurehead. He's the president right now. But, you know, he couldn't fight himself out of a wet paper sack. That's as evident to everybody as it is that it's Saturday morning right now. But the powers that be, the you know, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Soroses, the Gates, those that are pulling the shot, the Rothschilds, just throw them all in there, that are pulling the shots, they're summarized up in that he's. It's they would be more proper. They're killing the economy, and so they put that out. You know, the sheep look at that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's what's happening. Oh, it's horrible. The way that the enemies look at it, that's a feather in their cap. That's a good thing for them to do that. And then the subtitle, Americans sound off on inflation struggles after Biden claims his administration is changing lives. Well, you know, see, there's truth. They are changing lives. They're changing them by destroying them. Is what they're doing. He's killing this economy. I've been up to the tire shop a couple times this week. We've got a couple trailers here at the ranch, a stock trailer and a dump trailer. Been cleaning up a little bit, and they both had flat tires. Had to go up and get them fixed. And my guy up at the tire shop, we've been dealing with him for over 20 years. And he has 10 employees, needs 10 more. He said he's got so much work, he's turning work away. And he can't get people to work. The construction companies in town can't. And a young man was there listening to me and the boss, the young man that is working, and that's a good thing. And he said, I'll tell you why they won't come to work. He said they're getting $600 to $800 a week on unemployment. They're getting food stamps. This is a young, like a 21-year-old, telling me this yesterday. And he said in the stimulus checks, and that's what they're doing. They're staying home. He said, my friends won't work. He said, they're staying home playing video games. or getting drunk. And he said on $600 and $700 and $800 a week unemployment. And why should they work? And so, you know, the headlines are right. It is a far-reaching tentacles into every aspect of our economy, but they are. The enemy is doing their best to kill our economy and the people in it as well. And so, you know, the enemy has to, we learned that from our pastor as well, they have to tell us what they're doing or what they've done or what they plan on doing. And it's in the headlines every day, especially this morning, that's what they're doing. That's their goal. That's their desire. You know, we desire to do the deeds of our Father who is in heaven. We you know, we're to have a servant's attitude as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and had us, he said he came to serve, not to be served. And that's the attitude that so many of us, we should have, and so many of us do. But it's just the opposite attitude that they have. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. And when they can do that, it gives them the warm fuzzies inside. Anyway, I'll stop my rant.
You know, the Bible tells us to choose life or choose death. Now, that boy working in that store, he's choosing life, and the other ones are choosing death. Because you do reap what you sow. You know, they're giving him paper money, and the food is drying up. And, they, you know, it's going to be an ugly system for them, but God will reward those people that keep his word, do his word, and work for a living, you know, to the glory of God, or whatever it is. We don't always know what their motive is, but the salt has been lost in this people, and the judgment starts first in the house of the Lord, because that's where it's wrong. I mean, you haven't, I don't know, been in the church where it says, if you don't work, you don't eat. If that was preached and lived, you know, that would change the world itself. So,
right.
But these people have no morals at all, and their mom and dad and their grandpa might not either, because this thing didn't just happen. This has been on a downward spiral for quite some time. I remember my father once said, why plant a garden? I can buy a sheep herd. And I said, yeah, but your kid won't know how to grow things. So that's the way it works. You know, everybody thinks looks in financial, if they're making money or not making money. Well, that money is going to turn to dross. It is in your, right in your face. So you know, real life is going to come back one way or another, and there's going to be a lot of casualties, and it's because of what you believe. You know, you and I have faith. We don't know what the future holds. We see it's ugly, but we know we're going through somehow, because God's not going to ban his people. And when we keep do things, God, you go in the Old Testament, when God told them to go to war, he fought the war for them. When he told them not to, they got their butt kicked, and we have to do that, and he's not fighting for us at the moment. Because we need our nose rubbed in the dirt as a nation.
Well, and, you know, as you have pointed out so many times, that this is their system, and that's something we got to keep in perspective. There is going to be suffering coming out of it, but you know, if the end result of that is that most folks have a garden out there in front of their house and, you know, have a few head of beef cattle and some chickens and, you know, grow the majority of what they eat. That's a lot more godly model than us having these superior genetically engineered cattle eating the hybrid feed at the feedlots.
Yes.
You know, and then coming through the distributors to the supermarket to us. And so, there no doubt that there are going to be casualties, like Mr. Paul said, and there's going to be some suffering. But it is, I mean, the enemy is just that rod that God is allowing to put us back where we're supposed to be, because we're the ones that's out of line. And we have worshipped their money system for so many years, and parents and grandparents. Just like this, it's been a gradual thing. It hasn't happened overnight, albeit it looks like it has accelerated here recently, but it's accelerated because they know that they're losing and they're not going to make it in the end, so they're pulling out all the stops.
Yes.
To try to be victorious, but they know the end just as well as we do. But it's on us of how bad is it going to get. how long does it take us to bend our knees and bow to God and pray for forgiveness and pray for him to remove that rod from us and get ourselves in order.
Amen.
Yeah, and you want to talk about faith, the money system that a lot of these people worship and consider, the end all of their existence requires, most of them don't even know how it works. I mean, you want to talk about requiring faith. They're like, well, you know, serving God's a hard thing. I mean, it's just, you got to take everything on faith. It doesn't, I mean, you know, we've all heard statements like that or similar to it. And it's like, well, what you're doing requires a lot of faith too, you know? So, it's just in what? So.
Because I'm going to give you my money and let you hold it for 30 years, and then I'm going to count on the fact that when you give it back to me, it's enough for me to be able to retire because you told me so.
Yeah.
I never got to see it, but hopefully, you know, through faith, if I let you take care of my money, it's going to be more money later on. And you're right. That takes a fair amount of faith.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, would you walk down and give your, give your credit card or your bank account number to some stranger you never met before and expect him to do well with it? You know, just walk into Walmart and hand it to somebody. It's like, and
he's got a cool logo on his shirt, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. He's got a website, you know, or whatever. I don't know that guy.
Yeah, you look at the stock market today, you know, the NASDAQ's down, the S&P is down, gold is down, it's all down. If you ever listen to National Jewish Radio, I mean National Public Radio, if I'm traveling, sometimes I'll hit that. I can only stand about 4 minutes of it, though. But when they talk about the stock market over the last year, they're just as jolly as they can be. Yeah, good morning. So, hey, stocks are down today, but it's a beautiful day. And the S&P, oh, it dropped 400 points, but we just are glad to be here, and it's just the greatest thing ever. I mean, you hear them talk about this economy has been crashing. It's their system, absolutely. And they sound like they're reporting, you know, it's just the best thing that's ever happened. And they laugh about it and joke about it, and it just goes down, down, down. You know, we've long said, yeah, our people are people of great faith. They just have faith in the wrong thing. Most of them do. And yeah, what kind of blind faith does it take to, like you guys are saying, yeah, here, take my money, and you hold on to it for 30 years and do good with it. And then give it back. Yeah, it's a mess. Have you guys heard about Yellowstone? No, it didn't erupt. It hadn't erupted. But flooding in Yellowstone, the whole north part of Yellowstone National Park is closed for the summer. For the summer. They have miles and miles of roads and bridges that are gone. Flooded out. The floodwaters have just pushed them out of the way. Saw a deal just this week, said flooding had chased 10,000 visitors from the north part of the park. Red Lodge, Montana, Miles City, Montana, the pictures are just, it looks like a hurricane came through there. Billings, Montana. Now, Billings is a pretty good place, pretty good sized town. Their water plant flooded out. I saw a note this week that the fire department was filling up their trucks from the river. How about that? And it was just late this week that the part of the water plant was coming back online. National Guard had to go rescue people from floods and whatnot. And where's this on the news? Oh, it got a page 13 little mention. Was all that it was. Record flooding, one in 500 year event, is what's being said about it. Is everybody heard about it, or is it just kind of a Western thing?
I've heard about it. I look on YouTube and they show it, you know, houses falling in the river and stuff, and the roads washed out, and that's the no minor thing is Mount's roses are gone, so.
No.
Yeah, it's major, you know, and think about it, where it is and what's going on there, you know. This is where millions of people go to that park every year, and kind of messed up their vacation, don't you think?
Yes.
Big time, yeah.
Sarcasm intended.
Yes. Yeah, and
well, a lot of that stuff reminds me of Isaiah 2:12. You know, I thought about that this morning, and it says, "For the Lord of armies will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is arrogant and haughty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be brought low." And I was like, "Wow." There's a lot of reckoning going on. I think there's going to be a lot more reckoning going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's towns. You don't hear about it, but there's towns that, you know, little mountain towns and stuff that have a bridge or two that connect them to, you might say, the outside world. You know, they're on the edge of the mountain. You can't go any further up, but they're across the river, and the bridges are gone. And so there's multiple towns that are, you know, that this week they are just cut off. So, you know, the food they have, the water they have, the whatever, the chicken feed they have, the canned goods they have are what they have. The fuel they have, if any, is what they have. And, you know, you don't just go in there. I mean, the rivers are still flooded. They're still flooding. And you don't just go in there and, you know, pop another bridge down. Anyway,
especially this day and age, that's another thing that interests me is this infrastructure debate and everything. And the amount of time it takes to get anything accomplished these days, and even worse is the quality of it when it's done. I mean, it's like, you know, we had a time where we had workmen that, you know, true craftsmen out there. The job was done as quickly as it could, and it was a good job. I mean, a lot of this infrastructure has been in place since the 50s, and it's coming to an end, and they're replacing it with absolute junk that's supposed to be better, and the cost is just insane, you know, as far as the numbers go. And it's like, well, when you take prayer out of your life and God out of your life, this is what you end up with. You know, you end up with, they can't fix it because they didn't build it. And that's the problem I see when I look around, and they're going to fix this and they're going to fix that. And it's like, all they did was break it. I mean, they can break things, but they can't repair anything. I mean, I liken it to, I've known people through my life who they're destroyers. I mean, they'll take something in perfect working order, and within hours they have it in pieces or cut apart and destroyed. And it's just like, and that's what we have. And the Bible says they're destroyers, you know. And I mean, I think we see that. You're just seeing it on a way grander scale than just the local, you know, guy around who takes something nice and totally destroys it. Now you're seeing it on a you know, national level. You know,
yes. So, absolutely.
Well, you know, it's a throwaway society. They don't fix anything anymore. You just replace it, get a new one. You know, and the dumps, the landfills are getting taller and taller, and but they don't fix nothing, and they don't build it to fix it because they don't want to. You know, they don't bring milk bottles back anymore. All the plastic goes, you know, that goes in burn and barrel in my house, but a lot of it goes in the landfill, which don't rot. You know, the Jews, they want to just sell you a bottle of milk. They don't want to wash that thing up and clean the back. They just want. See, a corporation is strictly about money. I seen somewhere earlier this year that the corporations look at the American people as their enemy because all they think about is money. That's the bottom line. Your small mom and pa businesses that used to have a heart looked out for you. Basically, they've sold out. You know, if it was good enough, it was bought up by the corporations and eliminated. So, but the heart has gone out of the people. And like the Bible says, they grow cold because of lawlessness. And you know, if somebody murders somebody, they put them in prison for life. There's no justice served there. It's restitution or execution. We have forgotten God and God's ways. You know, if you get your information on the TV, you will never hear about the true story of God.
I would say that it's even worse than we have forgotten God, because if your wife just leaves you and, you know, she lives over there, that's one thing. But we have forsaken God for other gods. And so, you know, God's looking at us cheating with these other gods and chasing after, lusting after, whether it be the money or the fame or the whatever other gods we have chosen above him. And so we do have a jealous and angry God that is going to do what's best and either bring us back to him or destroy us. And that's pretty much our choice which way he's going to go.
Yeah. One of the first things when I, way back when we were hanging around with Pastor, one of the first things I remember him saying is, "Has you ever seen the movie They Live?" You know? And I was like, no. And I think it had Roddy Piper in it or something like that. But, you know, he goes, "We got to watch that." So, and you know, that thing is still to this day, it's like, wow. It's a very, very, to those who have eyes to see, it's just a super eye-opening movie, you know. I mean, and that's what that whole evil bunch is about, is consume, throw away, you know, just trash it all. And when you see that, and that is a, when that's all you have time for is pleasure and consumption, there's no growth. There's no constructive and conscious thought, you know. None of those things that matter anymore, because you don't have time for them. And we have become a society of show-offs and a society, well, Isaiah 12 said it, arrogant, haughty, lifted up. You know, hey, look what I got. Look what I can do. Look what I can, and by their very thought process, they violate the law the laws of God, because it causes a stumbling block before your brother. You know, I mean, it, you're seeking to make him want what you have or sin in that way. And that's not right. You know, that's a wrong attitude.
Yeah,
but we need to constantly be measuring ourselves and making sure of where we're at, and that we're not being double-minded. You know, the story of the roofer that was up on top of the gymnasium, and he slips and falls and starts sliding down the tin, and he cries out, you know, "God save me!" And about that time, his tool belt catches on a screw, and it grabbed him and stops him, and he says, "Never mind, Lord, this screw caught me. I'm good." You know, we've been praying for years, the rifle prayers and the pistol prayers, and we've been praying and fasting that their system will come down, that Babylon system will fall, and that the kingdom will be reinstituted here on earth, that God's way will be our way nationally and even as the world. And so we've got to be careful whenever we see these things happening around us, that we're not the ones that are looking back at the city on fire and you know, looking back at these sinful, terrible abominations to our people and lamenting and wanting them back, because we should be happy. We should be rejoicing that their system is falling apart and burning down. And once again, they saying it's going to be fun for us and there's not going to be growing pains, but their way is not God's way. And we should always be moving to get closer to God's way.
Amen to that.
That's true.
And you know,
Lot, when that all...
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead. Well, when Lot went to... when Lot went that, I mean, he moved out of his nice house there, you know, and all that. He was saved. I don't know, you know, exactly how happy he was about it, but he ended up in a cave for a while and some other stuff going on. And it wasn't all, you know, roses and everything for him for a little while to get out of that mess. So, yes, good point.
Yeah, we do have to remember, and it's been mentioned on these programs and today, that it's their system that is falling. And if that includes the good old USA, so be it. You know, so be it. You know, you look, you've got a massive heat wave from the Midwest all the way to the East and the North and the South, coming across the country. Here it is, the very beginning of summer. Very beginning with, you know, 95 to 100, 100 to 105, 105 to 120 degree temperatures. Geez, you know, Texas to Michigan and everything north and east. And so as these things happen, you know, we can... I think President Trump would do a better job than what's in there now, but that's just my opinion. But that's not where we put our faith. That's not where we put our hope in. No, we put our hope in Christ. And like has been said here, in as these things happen, that we're not surprised, for one thing, at these fiery ordeals. We're not surprised at these things happening. We're not surprised at cattle die-offs and $7 a gallon diesel and 120 degree temperatures on the first day of summer. We're not surprised at them, because for the believer, for the follower, for the doer of the word, it comes upon us for our testing. For our testing, to get us ready for what's coming next. You know, Jeremiah 51 says, verse 45, "Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves." That's the opportunity given to us. We talk about that. We read about that very same thing. And when we do communion sometimes, we read there in Corinthians, you know, that we're told that when we come together, that we remember, right? Do this in remembrance of me and judge yourselves. You know, I don't judge my brother Tim on what Tim does. Tim judges Tim. And I don't judge Paul, because Paul judges Paul. And, you know, and for believers, for the doers of the word that we are to be, that's how it is to be. And if we will judge ourselves now, and I think that's what you were talking about, Josh, that if we judge ourselves now, guess what? It says we won't be judged. He gives us that opportunity to do that. But to do that, we have to obey Jeremiah 51:45. "Come forth from her midst, my people." How many times do we read that? Do we hear that? "Come out of her, my people. And each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord." And it goes on. "Do it now, so your heart doesn't grow faint, and so you're not afraid of the report that will be heard in the land." And that's kind of what we're sharing with you people, is the report that's in the land. Right? The report of the worst inflation in 40 years, and the report of cattle die-offs, and the report of flooding and record heat and record fires in the Southwest. We're you know, the reports are in the land, but it says don't be afraid of that report. The report will come one year, and after that another report in another year, and violence will be in the land and ruler against ruler. But the punishment for the idols of Babylon is what we're seeing, and that's what's upon us. And so we do. We you know, that's what you've heard here. It's not, we don't share these reports with you, as Jeremiah says, to scare you, to worry you, but for you to be aware of what's going on. And if you haven't come forth from her midst, no, we're all in this world. We're all in Babylon, but we're not to be of Babylon. And we are to come forth from her. We're to come out of her. And so, if you don't understand that, if you haven't done that, well, that's what you need to do. You can contact us. You can contact any of these men. And you know, we can let you know how you do that, and that you must do that. And when you do, Tim, I think you mentioned in your opening prayer that, you know, Lord, we pray that in during these times that we and the remnant prosper. When the ungodly system fails, guess what? When it goes down, guess what comes up? The godly system.
Yep.
And that's what we pray for. And that's what we believe.
When, you know, you were talking about calling someone, and as we do face more and more challenges, it sure does help to build you some a network of godly folks and friends that you can call and use as your sounding board. I know I've always valued that gray hair, because folks, you know, they earn that through living life and experience. And so I would encourage you know folks to look around and find you some older godly men that, you know, you'd rather be, that you feel like they're closer to God than you are. And use them as sounding blocks. I know Mr. Paul doesn't judge me, but there's a lot of times when I'll call him and say, hey, I got this situation and this scenario sitting here in front of me. You know, what do you think about it? And he'll help me. He'll give me his perspective and the scripture that drives his perspective. And, man, there's so much value to that. Just even listening to these programs on Saturday morning, having that fellowship and God being able to give you his word through somebody that's just a tool. So to me, that's having that network of godly Christian men is, you don't have to have it. All you need is the word, but it sure does make it nice. And God gives us that. We've got it right now, you know, as a gift to us. And I just encourage everyone to use it, because steel sharpens steel, and it is. It does make it makes it easier whenever you've got that help, and whenever you've got people that have the right foundation to help you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of times that you know, I talk to people and they're like, "Well, how are we going to get back to the way it was?" And you know, when the Israelites were called out of Egypt, they never went backwards. They never went back to the way it was. They went forward. They went through the Red Sea. They went through the wilderness. They went through all of those trials and tribulations. That's what the Bible calls it. I mean, they went forward, and they finally got to what God promised them. You know, but I think that a lot of times, it's like, keep moving forwards and quit looking back. I mean, they were whining about leeks and garlics and stuff like that back there. Well, you know, that's just the onions and garlic. I mean, wouldn't you rather have the dinner God has prepared for you than, you know, those are flavor enhancers, not mainline items, you know. So
right.
It's God's got some good stuff playing for you if you'll just keep moving forward.
Well, you know, Christianity takes responsibility. It goes back to Samuel when they wanted a king to fight their battles and stuff, and he told them what would happen. You know, when Samuel was distraught, he told, and God said, "No, their rebellion isn't against you, it's against me." Christian self-government is the way to go. The government has absolutely nothing to give you. It didn't take from someone else. And it's all about yourself. You know, judge yourself, like Josh said. Look in the mirror, you know, what's going on. And read the word. When the word says something, it'll matter. These preachers have basically led us straight into hell is what they've done, maybe either ignorantly or maliciously. I'm not sure which it is, but they got to answer for it. And, you know, I figured, and I'm not a bright person, but I started challenging what I believed, and it didn't, you know, when I left the church that I was in, I was physically sick for 3 days because everything I believed went right down the drain, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me. That man standing in that pulpit is just a man, and you read that word and you hold him to the word. You know, Pastor Peters always said that, and I didn't particularly like Pastor Peters when I first met him, but I just couldn't let it go, you know. He was telling the truth, and I had to change myself, but he was telling the truth, and he was willing to do it, whether he had a friend or not. And this is the shoes that we need to stand in and stand on the word. That's the end of the matter. I was talking to a guy in the hardware the other day, and I said, well, is it going to change in November? You know, I said, if you're thinking you're going to vote yourself out of this mess, you don't even know what's going on. And we're not voted out.
That's right.
But, the people are looking for something different. When this fails them, I said, at least they're looking. So, and that's where I was a long time ago. We got to figure out where we was when we came out of this too. You know, Josh has had a huge change of attitude since the last thing I seen him face to face for the better. He's grounded, and he's the word has taken worked out in him. And God, somebody said earlier today, God don't need us. He don't need us. He wants us, and I'd rather be wanted than more than needed. It's just a whole lot better deal.
Amen to that.
Yep. Amen.
And I've told my wife before, you know, I sure do love you, but I don't like you right now. And there's a big difference. And the same thing between being wanted and being needed.
Yeah. Needy people are dangerous people. You know, when you want, you know, Josh, everybody on here, if you want it, you go get it, you know. And that journey and our faithfuls, our spiritual side of life has just brought us to where we're at today. And we don't trust it, you know. Even Pastor Peters, he was my pastor, but he wasn't my God. So, and he told me more truth than anybody I know, so. But I'd been into the Bible pretty deep because I was trying to find my way, you know, and the Bible says, seek, you shall find, you know, and I was reading this Patriot magazine, Obedience to Rebellion, you know, Authority, and that I sent for that book, and that's what changed my whole life, because it was absolutely, because I was starting to question this of Romans 13, no total obedience to this government, which is ridiculous. Yeah, it's a perversion of scripture, what they're teaching you, because we're under no obligation to obey somebody that's not a God-fearing man. So,
amen.
That's right.
But we're not God-fearing people as a nation, generally speaking. And I'm, you know, we're in perilous times. We really are, you know. And I've been praying for the fall of Babylon too, and it's here now. And sometimes I got to just pinch myself in the cheek. Yeah, this is what I want, and I do want it because it's the kingdom of God that we're looking for, and it's going to be purified. Your money's going to turn to dross. It's going to mean absolutely nothing. It's not going to take you through it. Your faith will.
That's right. That's right. That's how you get through this, folks. Is your faith. That's how it works. You know, we are to be doers of the word, and that faith is not belief, okay? Faith is not belief. No, the faith is the doing. You want to know how to get through this? Read Malachi. Short book, last book in the Old Testament, right there before Matthew. Read Malachi, and that will let you know how to get through this. It will. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you so much for getting up this morning and joining us. Remnant, we thank you for joining us. And, hey, we're planning on church tomorrow, so we hope you'll be there. 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, back to church with the video and everything. And we'll be streaming live, and you can join us at scriptures4america.org. We hope to see you there. Thanks again, guys.
By now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. When my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder